Welcome in, Tribe fans, to episode 20 of the Tribe Unscripted Podcast. My name is Shelton Moss. I am joined, as always, by my partner, Jack Angelucci. We're two guys talking Tribe sports. Jack, good to be back on with you again. Man, what a week it was, a weekend it was in Tribe sports. How are the vibes right now, Jack?
I'd say they're pretty high. Big weekend coming up as well. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But as you mentioned, a lot of good happening for Tribe Athletics here early in this 26-27 season. So, really, really good stuff all around. Obviously, there's the big win that we're going to highlight, but some other nice wins as well out there.
Yep, we're talking football. Their big win over top 10 ranked Villanova. We are interviewing head volleyball coach Kelly Katnack-Johnson a little bit later. Also speaking with Cassie Geddes from women's basketball to highlight the upcoming Lord Botetourt affair. But first up, a couple of news from around Tribe sports. Some news and notes. Football ranked 17th in the latest FCS media poll. They're also ranked number 19 in the AFCA coaches poll, so good to see them back in the top 25 rankings. A few more news items. Also for football, safety Kate Ellis was named the defensive player of the week along with rookie of the week, while Max Lipinski was named the special teams player of the week for his efforts, kicking a couple big field goals in that win over the Wildcats. In men's soccer, Brown Hufford for the second consecutive week was the CAA Rookie of the Week, so lots of young talent showing out this past week for the Tribe. All right, with that, we'll get into Around Tribe Sports. First up, the story of the year so far, football. One of the most remarkable comeback victories you will ever see. They took down number 7 ranked Villanova, 35-32, the final score back on Friday up in Pennsylvania, erasing a 10-point deficit in the final minute. Max Lipinski was the hero. His first field goal came with 53 seconds left. That made it a one-score game, one-touchdown game. After that, he successfully executed the onside kick. Tribe got the ball back, and shortly thereafter, Winston Watkins, Tribe quarterback, threw a 37-yard dime to Kai Winston with 22 seconds remaining to tie the game at 32 apiece. After that, Villanova decided to pass for some reason, and it was intercepted by Cade Ellis. That interception set up the game-winning field goal courtesy of Lipinski as it sailed through the uprights as time expired. A thrilling 35-32 victory for Mike London and the Tribe. Watkins was 19 of 33 passing on the day, 254 yards, two touchdowns, also did some damage with his legs, 72 rushing yards along with one rushing score. Austin, receiving-wise, had 4 receptions for 76 yards and a touchdown. So that was the win for football. Jack, we'll take it over to soccer.
Yeah, for soccer, William Mary women's soccer, a tough non-conference schedule they're playing here early on, looking to get back on track, coming off a couple of losses, notably to Virginia Tech, a battle, but unfortunately didn't go their way against the Hokies. They'll try to get back on track this week. On the men's soccer side of things, a mixed bag of results, but a nice win last Sunday for the Tribe, a 4-1 win at Martin Family Stadium against Radford, then went on the road and played a tough George Mason team, lost that 1-3-1, and a very good result on the road against the defending champions, Elon. Went to Elon and earned that 1-1 draw to get a point on the board to begin CAA play.
Talking volleyball now, huge, huge win over the weekend. They take down the Virginia Tech Hokies in 5 sets on Friday as part of the Hokie Invitational. Now, the Tribe went 1-2 at the Invitational, but again, that win against Virginia Tech was their first win over a Power 4 program since 2016, and their first win over the Hokies since 2000. And of course, most notably, it was also the first win in the career of new head coach Kelly Katnack-Johnson, who we'll be speaking with a little bit later. Kate Hatfield, setter for the Tribe, had 44 assists in that game against the Hokies. That was most by any Tribe player since Amy Schwimm back in 2021. Audrey Birchka led the Tribe, led all teams rather, with 18 kills in that one, as again, the Tribe take down the Hokies in 5 sets. And then wrapping things up here, field hockey, they lost to number 6 ranked Duke in their season opener, but they'll be back home for a couple matches this weekend, so head out to Busch Field to catch some Tribe field hockey. With that, we are going to swing it over to our interview with Cassidy Geddes, talking about the upcoming Lord Botetourt affair. Cassidy Geddes, a senior with the women's basketball team, chatting with us about her role in this big fundraising event and giving you some important details there. So we'll swing it over to our chat with Cass. We are now joined by Cassidy Geddes, a senior guard on the women's basketball team, highlighting the upcoming Lord Botetourt affair. Cass, for those who don't know, tell us simply, what is the Lord Botetourt affair?
So yeah, this is our premier annual fundraising event for Tribe Athletics. You know, 250 supporters and alumni will be at the MAC on Friday, September 18th. There's going to be a live and silent auction going on, chef stations, and opportunities for just guests to engage with all the sports teams, you know, coaches, assistant coaches, players. It's going to be a really great time.
And why does this event matter so much for student athletes?
So like, this event really just helps garner the support, and I think along with that, the connection between the student athletes, coaches, and just the Williamsburg community, the alumni base, all of the supporters and generosity. I think it's really just, you know, a time that we get to go together and see the support that's going to manifest into the lives of the student athletes for the next coming years.
And obviously you're taking time out of your day to help participate in this. Can you just talk about, you know, what makes this event meaningful for you and why you wanted to be a participant in this event?
Yeah, I know one of the big highlights of the event for me is going to be the conversation corners. You know, I really want that opportunity to interact more and, you know, just feel all the support and then also, you know, get to interact, answer some fun questions from the supporters and alumni. I think that's a big part that all student athletes are excited to do.
Well, Cass, I'm certainly look forward to seeing you out there along with, you know, the rest of the women's basketball players who are in attendance and all the other student athletes. So, again, just appreciate the time today.
Yep, of course.
Thanks again to Cassidy Geddes for highlighting the Lord Botetourt Affair. Again, that is Friday, September 18th at the Mackesy Sports Performance Center right here next to Kaplan Arena where we are currently recording. Again, you can visit tribelba.org to purchase tickets for that event. And now we are going to kick it over to our main interview. That was with head volleyball coach Kelly Katnack-Johnson. Now, we recorded this in the preseason, so we did not have the knowledge of beating Virginia Tech that we do right now. But we still talked about her first year in Williamsburg, why she took the job, and just what her experiences have been like so far working with this talented group of girls. So that is up next, our chat with Kelly. Coach Kelly, thanks for joining us here on Tribe Unscripted. Happy to have you on. First off, we're in the middle of preseason right now. By the time this podcast comes out, we'll obviously be in the middle of the season. But just talk about how the preseason has been going for you guys and what it's been like coaching this group of girls.
Yeah. You know, I feel so lucky in the group that I walked into and, you know, the additions that we made also. But I think this class of seniors and grad students have been great leaders, and that makes my life as a coach so much easier. So this is a group that's hungry. They, you know, are ready to go. They want to compete. They want to work hard. They want to get better. And they're just fun to be around. So they're like nice humans. And that makes our lives not only better, but way more fun, you know, when we enjoy what we're doing. So, you know, so far it's been great. Preseason is always a grind. And, you know, we had a great match on this last Saturday and played again Friday. So, you know, it's been fun to see the growth and the development, but also their relationships grow and our relationships grow with them. So no complaints.
Great. Well, we'll talk about your journey into coaching. But first off, you took this job back in December. You came from a very prestigious academic institution at Duke. Talk to me about what made this job attractive for you and just kind of what your conversations were like with the administration here at William & Mary.
Yeah. You know, my mentors and the people closest to me have always tried to impress upon me that who you work for matters. And in all my conversations with Brian Mann and, you know, our administrators here, I just really felt supportive and like they believed in me and like they were also, again, you know, good people. And so that was a really important thing for me. I think the support of the program, you know, I am a little spoiled. I walked into brand new facilities and brand new locker room and offices and the Mackesy and, you know, so of course, you know, that's appealing too, because I think, you know, who doesn't want flashy things? But I think at its core, William & Mary is just an incredible place, and the alumni base and the history will tell you that. But, you know, I think the ability to build something special is here. And, you know, it's not a starting over thing, because Deb Hill did that for years and years, and, you know, it's continued. So getting to build on what she's done and move the program forward is really exciting to me, especially in this new time of college athletics where things are a little bit crazy. And, you know, this is a place where being a student athlete matters. And that was exciting to me.
Now, talking about your journey here, you took a little bit of a circuitous route to get into coaching. Graduated from Duke in 2011, spent 1 year working at Duke in administration, and then 6 years over at Florida State, both as a graduate assistant in academic services and later as director of educational services. So then you came back to Duke in 2019 as a coach for the first time. So talk about just kind of your post-playing career journey and what made you want to get back into coaching.
Yeah. You know, it had always been in the back of my mind as an option. I'm a coach's kid. My dad coached volleyball for 42 years and was very, very good at his job. And so, you know, it was always something like, oh, I feel like I would really enjoy this. But, you know, for me, when I was done playing, I just needed to take a step back because volleyball was such a huge part of my identity and, you know, figure out who I was and what I enjoyed without that. And Florida State was an incredible opportunity, and I learned so much and got to meet so many incredible people. And it also gave me a really great understanding of the other side, right? I guess coaches, you see your team in the gym, and, you know, it's so performance-based sometimes, and so it gave me the opportunity to explore and understand, like, what life is like for student-athletes, you know, outside of my own experience, right, because my experience is singular, but to get to know so many different student-athletes and types of people, that part was really valuable to me. So I got really lucky that the woman I played for, Jolene Nagel, had an opening and called, and you know, my husband was also a Duke grad, and he said, you know, she's not going to ask again, so if you want to go, now's the time. So we moved back to Durham and, you know, kind of went from there. But it was a definitely an interesting pivot. There was a learning curve for me getting back into it, but I had great people around me that really were supportive and so helpful for me in that.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned your dad because that was my next question. Chris Katanek was a four-time national champion at Division II Tampa University, had a legendary career there at the D2 level. How much of an influence has he had on your coaching style?
He's been awesome. You know, I am very much a learn by watching kind of person. So growing up, getting to go to their matches and, you know, seeing the way he carried himself and his demeanor and even getting to go to practice after school when we were younger and how things ran and the standards he held people to, but, you know, also the relationships he built with his student athletes and, you know, they still, you know, I'll say my mom is just as involved. She's an alum of the program at UT and just as involved in the growing of the program. So they still have student athletes that pop by all the time and, you know, alums and stuff like that. So I was like, you know, that's something I could do too. You can be really successful and also really care about the people that you're working with. So that was probably the big lesson for me. And then his volleyball mind is, you know, incredible. So that's been hugely beneficial for me the last couple of years, but this year especially, just being able to bounce ideas off of him. And, you know, he's up here. My parents are up here this fall helping with my daughter, and, you know, they're at matches and stuff like that. So getting his feedback from the exhibition on Saturday, yeah. You know, it's huge for me. Thinking about things in different ways, things, you know, you sometimes miss the big picture when you're focused on smaller things. So it's been great.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask about that too. For those who come to any William & Mary volleyball games this year, you'll see Chris at some games. Yeah. He's a very tall guy, gray hair, wears glasses. What kind of a role will he have with the program this year?
Yeah, you know, hopefully he's kind of in a volunteer consulting role for us. So that means that he can provide feedback to me and our staff, but not to our student athletes. And so he's very much like, I don't ever want to overstep. Tell me how I can help. Tell me what you need. So he came to practice a few times in the spring and just, you know, even feedback as far as like, hey, you need to make sure these boxes are pushed all the way against the wall or the ball carts are getting hit when you're serving. Like, those cost money, you know, so those kinds of things. But also the actual volleyball stuff and the actual volleyball feedback and maybe how we can help certain players or adjust our system and stuff like that has been awesome. But yeah, he'll be, you know, kind of a consultant and give feedback, and our girls know his face. So that's great. And, you know, he'll usually have my 16-month-old running around with him. So it helps too.
And as you know, coaching transitions are tough for everyone because, you know, you players get recruited by a coach, coach leaves. It's tough to, you know, kind of adapt to a new coach. So when you got here, obviously you had meetings with the players, the assistant coaches, and you guys did a really good job of retention. Obviously, Emma Minnick and Kayla Correll both still on staff, along with Steven Trevethan. And of course, I mean, for the most part, the bulk of the roster retained from last year. How important is it having that continuity with not just the players, but also the assistants? And what kind of message did you want to impart to them about the culture you're trying to build here?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, the big thing about the culture was that they matter as people and a people first mentality. And so that, you know, from my first conversation was, we're going to honor everything that you were promised. And I want them to have great experiences. I think winning and having success on the court is part of that. But it's about, you know, it's about more than just volleyball. And so really wanting to hone in on that and really wanting to build the relationships, you know, so I spent Christmas break, you know, on the phone with each of them individually and got to know them a little bit, and it made the transition here a little bit easier. And so, you know, I just enjoyed, you know, getting to know them a little bit, and then now you get to know them on a deeper level, and there's jokes and, you know, teasing and stuff like that. But, you know, I think keeping the staff was one of the best moves I've made, and I know I'm lucky in that it doesn't always work out great for people, but Emma and Kayla and Steven have been tremendous for me, just even in the day-to-day details and knowing how things get done and stuff like that. But Emma, as an alum, you know, that's a, I know how that is. I was an alum at Duke and coaching at your alma mater, and it's just a different connection. But I think they're all, you know, they want to learn too and are hungry to get better and want this program to succeed, and they really truly care about our girls and the success of William and Mary volleyball. So those things are important to me. And you know, both Emma and Kayla in my first phone call said, like, we just want the girls to have a great experience. It's okay if you fire us, you know? And I was like, okay, well, that was pretty selfless, you know, which is a check mark in your box. So, yeah, I think I'm big on vibes and connected well with both of them and thought, you know, it made sense to just keep as much similarity and continuity as we could.
Now, I'd be remiss not to mention your accolades at Duke as a player. 3-time All-American, 2-time ACC champion, 4 NCAA tournaments. I'm sure it's probably difficult to sum up, you know, what that meant to you in just a few words, but how would you characterize your playing experience at Duke?
Yeah, you know, it was... you're right, it is tough in a few words. I think for me, the thing I took away the most, though, was just my teammates and the relationships there with my teammates. And, you know, of course, the wins and the getting to go play in the Elite Eight, like, are incredible experiences. But it's also the little moments in the locker room, you know, where you're all studying on a random Wednesday night or going to get ice cream after something. So, you know, I think... the big moments were awesome, but it was really the little moments that made my experience what it was. And I think kind of encouraged my excitement and interest in coaching because I want all of our student athletes to have those experiences too.
And you were a setter. Setter is like the quarterback of the team. You have to have a very high volleyball IQ and also be comfortable being held to a high standard. Do you think that the skill set required to be a setter is conducive to being a coach in the sense that, you know, just because of the way you see the game and everything you have to process?
Yeah, I definitely think it helps. You know, you are thinking about the game in different ways than different positions, and that doesn't mean they can't be great coaches too, but it is. You're kind of a coach on the court already, and, you know, I feel like I coach very similar to how I played and that I never want to be too high or too low and be steady and consistent on the sideline, but that's how I was as a player too. So, yeah, I think it translates pretty well.
Obviously, you work with the setters along with Emma Minnick, your assistant. What are the most important qualities in a setter for you?
Yeah, you know, I think there is something about the demeanor of a setter and just the way they approach the game. Like, can they be kind of a calming, steady force? I think there's got to be some competitiveness in that you're playing a game within the game against their defense, trying to find, you know, holes and seams for attackers and get your hitters in one-on-one situations and stuff like that. So I think those are important. And then, you know, I think just the basic skills are huge too. Like, can we be consistent in consistently setting hittable balls? You know, can location be consistent, tempo be consistent? I loved to set my middle and right side, so, you know, that's always a bonus point for me, someone that, you know, works on those connections with the middles and the rights and can have a lot of offense go through there and take the load off of our lefts a little bit. But yeah, I think, you know, they've got to be great communicators, they've got to be great competitors, and I think they've got to be, you know, great character people also.
Now, a few quick hitters before we let you go here. Have you found a favorite spot to eat in Williamsburg?
Ooh, that's a great question. I have a running list of all the places I've been told we need to try. We enjoy Taco Mexicali over there in Newtown. We can walk, you know, from the house. Ember was great. The cheese shop, you know, always reliable. So
great.
Great coffee here too.
Yes. I pretty much exclusively eat Mexican when I go out. So if you ever want to, let's get some Mexican as a staff, we can do that. So I asked a fun question to the girls last week. What is your volleyball ick? That's something that irritates you or kind of gets under your skin. I said an overpass. That's when a player tries to dig out a ball, inadvertently goes to the opposite team's side, and oftentimes they can get an easy point from that. What's your ick? What's something that gets under your skin as a coach in volleyball?
Ooh, I'll say coaches that chirp at the refs too much. That I find that to be an ick. any ball that lands, you know, kind of a campfire situation where everyone's sitting around watching the ball land in between them, that's also a nick for sure. I don't really mind the black socks, black knee pads. I know there's that was a big one.
It's a weirdly specific ick.
Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you previously alluded to your 8-month-old daughter, Evie. You're now a parent, obviously, with your husband, Desmond. What's one thing about parenting that you didn't expect?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think there's probably a lot of things about parenting I didn't expect. I feel like you hear about, you know, the diaper blowouts. I think dealing with them is a different thing. I'd probably say that, you know, and how often they happen in the early months. But I do think generally I didn't expect it to be so fun. I mean, she right now isn't quite talking yet, but starting to say some words. She's 16 months and it's just, you know, I don't need TV because I can just watch her, you know, play and talk and dance and, you know, and it's fun. So
obviously, again, first year head coach, I don't think anyone expects you guys to be world beaters right away, although I know you have, you know, high standards for what you want in this program. But have you guys set any goals as a team this year?
Yeah. You know, trying to get through this preseason a little bit, but we've talked about what we want our identity to be. Like, what do we want our opponents to say about us when we leave their gym? And so luckily, you know, in the conversation we had, a lot of what I was hoping for kind of came up. You know, can we stay disciplined but have fun with what we're doing? Can we be, you know, relentless in the effort that we give? And, you know, can other teams be like, man, that team was annoying? Or, you know, if the match doesn't go our way, can we walk out and the other team be like, man, they were hard to beat? So those kinds of things. And then at the end of the day, like, can we make sure we're falling back on our culture and the relationships we've built with each other, the love that they have for each other? I think that is going to be, you know, there's all the cliche quotes about culture and, you know, beating talent and this and that. But I do think it is a foundation and what we fall back on, especially in hard moments and tight matches. So can we really be good there?
Home opener for the Tribe on Friday, September 18th against Stony Brook right here in Kaplan Arena at 5 p.m. Coach Kelly, really appreciate the time today.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Kelly for chatting with us. We'll go now to up next in Tribe Sports. First up, we have football. They have their home opener this Saturday over at Zabel Stadium. They are hosting Delaware State. That is the Go Green game. And they will also be honoring legendary coach Lou Holtz at halftime as well. So be sure to stick around in your seats for that presentation. That is a 6 p.m. kickoff on ESPN Plus. If you aren't able to make the game, be sure to check it out on ESPN Plus. Now, volleyball will head up to the capital city, participate in the VCU Invitational at the Siegel Center. They won't play the Rams. Instead, they will play the Virginia Cavaliers. That is a Friday, 2 p.m. first serve. And their second game will be on Saturday, also at 2 p.m. against the ETSU Buccaneers.
Yeah, moving on to soccer. Men's soccer, home Saturday against the College of Charleston, a 1 p.m. kick. So if you're planning on heading over to the football game at Zabel Stadium, make a pit stop over to Martin Family Stadium first at 1 o'clock to watch some soccer action with the men's team taking on the Cougars. Then they will be on the road next Saturday. They will take on UNCW in Wilmington. Women's soccer on the other side. They will be at home today. They will take on the Liberty Flames, a good Liberty team that is set for a 6 p.m. kickoff, and then the Tribe will have their senior day game on Sunday. They will take on local rival VCU. That is at 1 p.m.
We just mentioned a couple home matches for field hockey this weekend. First up, Friday at 5 p.m., the Tribe takes on Longwood. You can catch that one on Flo College if you're unable to make it out to Bushfield. And then Sunday at 1 p.m., they will play VCU. That is senior day, so they're doing a little bit of an early senior day this year. That's also on Flo College. But if you're in the area, come out to support the Tribe. 1 p.m. Start against the VC Rams. Cross Country, meanwhile, opens their season at the Spider Alumni Open that is hosted by the University of Richmond. It'll take place in Mechanicsville over at Pole Green Park. The action, we believe, gets underway around 9 a.m. For the men and 9:50 for the women. Again, Pole Green Park in Mechanicsville for Cross Country. And now we wrap it up, Jack, with golf.
William Mary Golf going to get in action for the first time this season. The women will host the Tribe Invitational coming up after this Labor Day weekend on the 7th and the 8th. That'll be at the Kings Mill River Course right here in Williamsburg. The men, under the leadership of Tim Pemberton, looking to bounce back from a historic season and keep things rolling. September 12th and 13th, they will kick off their year at the Bryan National Collegiate that is hosted by UNCG at the Bryan Park Champions Course in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Well done. That is all for up next in Tribe Sports. And now we would normally finish off with the green and gold segment where we give out our gold star and tell the folks what's making us green in the face. But Jack, I want to keep the positive vibes going here, so we're just going to do our gold star. What's something
no green
that's been,
this
no,
week?
No green.
No negative notes. No negative notes.
What's been making you happy lately? Give a shout out. Positive shout out.
I will. How about this? I like that now YouTube TV and ESPN Unlimited combine plans. You can get, you know, all the ESPN Plus content within your YouTube TV package. Sheldon, football season coming up.
Yep.
You can make your own multi-view with ESPN Plus content and normal cable TV content. So I guess that's my goal, because that's something that like people have been asking for a very long time. And so finally, it seems like someone's listening to sports fans out there. So that's my goal for the week. Yeah.
All right. That's big time. Well, mine was very easy. I was with the volleyball team in Blacksburg this weekend and celebrated that glorious victory over Virginia Tech, my alma mater. So even though I went there, I think it was still really nice to get that win. Obviously, very happy for the girls. A lot of effort went into that. You know, that was also a doubleheader too. So they played Coppin State earlier in the day. Then had to come back like 3 hours later and take down a Power 4 team. I just want to give a shout out to them for all their efforts. Just a fantastic win. But we move on. The season keeps going. But certainly want to acknowledge fantastic win by the volleyball girls. And I was happy to be part of it. So that's my goal.
And nothing green, because nothing all positives. Green. We roll into this big Labor Day week. Again, right,
all positives. Let's keep the good vibes going. Again, come out to football this weekend on Saturday. Also check out some soccer. We got a doubleheader.
Field hockey.
Yep, field hockey as well. So lots of events going on here in Williamsburg. Jack, it's been a pleasure as always.
As always.
But that'll wrap it up for episode 20 of Tribe Unscripted. We'll see you next time, Tribe fans.